God is good.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Today's a special day. Today, Israel celebrates the Feast of Atonement. From sunset to sunset. And those of you that would like to participate in the Feast of Atonement, you're more than welcome to. They usually fast something from sunset to sunset, whatever the Lord leads you to fast. It could be sweets. It could be yourself. It's something I'd like to talk about, atonement power. Would you turn to Genesis chapter 3? First of all, atonement is associated with a ransom, a price paid, a cleansing. There's an exchange. Atonement, covering, cleansing. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 13, hallelujah. You know, Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were in paradise. But when they blew it, they broke covenant. That meant death. And in verse 13, it says that the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me." Hello. He deceives everybody, right? "And I ate." So the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle." So anybody who likes snakes, if you have them, cut their heads off. Just end it. Snakes are the most accursed thing you can have. Hello? Any snake I see, I cut. That's why I don't go to people's houses. They have pet snakes. They get really angry with me. Last house I went to, they had a pet snake. The thing froze. And they were angry with me. "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, but you shall bruise his heel." And to the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. You shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and for dust you shall return." And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. In other words, he was making atonement for them. Why? Because he had to kill an animal. Life for life. Does everybody understand that? See, they actually put fig leaves around them. And the Lord said, that ain't going to work. You tried to cover yourself, and that doesn't work. The only way that you're going to be covered from what you have done is what I do. And so he killed animal, and he covered them with the skin of the animal, blood, life for life. Does everybody understand that? By the blood of an animal. Go to Leviticus 17. Leviticus 17. So we are in the fall feast right now. There's the Feast of Trumpet, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacle. And only Jesus can come and fulfill these feasts. Amen? So obviously the Feast of Trumpets has passed, and we're still here. Hallelujah. So the Feast of Atonement we celebrate in Leviticus 17 and verse 10. Would you read it with me? "And whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people." Hello, what are they promoting on TV? Drinking blood. Does everybody get that? Look at all the zombie stuff. What are they promoting? Eating humans, eating blood. There was an individual that went to hell, and when he came back, one of the things that person said, he said, those individuals that were sacrificing or eating, drinking blood of humans, practicing witchcraft, they ate their own flesh and they vomited it up, and that's all they do. And it would come back on their body in hell. They ate their own flesh, they vomited it up, and they kept eating their own body over and over and over. He said all of these people that practice witchcraft, that drank blood, that's what was going on with them in hell. Verse 11. For the life of the flesh is what? Say it again. For the life of the flesh is what? In the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make what? Atonement. So sacrifice, in other words, when there's a blood shed of an animal, it's a covering. It's sacrifice. Why? Because there's life for life. And it's atonement for your what? Souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor shall any stranger who dwells among you eat blood. Whatever man of the children of Israel or the strangers who dwell among you, who hunts and catches any animal or bird that may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it with dust. For it is the life of the flesh. Its blood sustains its life. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of the flesh is in its blood. Whoever eats it shall be what? Cut off. People don't realize that many times when they go into the store and they see meat, and they see red meat, they actually believe that that's the blood, but it really isn't. It's a red preservative dye. Because when animals are cut and killed, they're hung, the blood is removed from them and replaced with a preservative dye. So you're really not eating blood, you're eating a preservative dye. Is everybody okay? So next time you're thinking, man, that blood is good, it ain't blood. So the life of the flesh is what? It's in the blood. That's why one of the things that when you go to a doctor, what does he say? He wants to know what's in your family line, doesn't he? He's looking for diabetes, he's looking for heart disease, he's looking for all kinds of stuff. Well, how did they get there? They get there by a curse, and it's called an iniquity that comes down the family line. Even addiction is a curse that comes down the family line. So you and I inherit the things from our forefathers. So by the power of the tongue, we begin to break these things, amen, so that we can be free from them. Is everybody okay? So, drinking, or whatever, drinking of the blood will always lead to death. But look at, reality is here. Everything is promoting of eating blood, eating flesh, cannibalism. It's incredible. All the videos, all Hollywood, even the rapping and all the music and all of the stuff. It's about shedding blood, isn't it? It's all about shedding blood. In Deuteronomy 32. Oh, hallelujah. Deuteronomy 32, verse 36. Let's speak it together. For the Lord will judge his people. Is everybody there? And he have compassion on his servants. When he sees that their power is gone and there is no one remaining, bond or free, he will say, where are their gods? The rock in which they sought refuge. Who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise and help you and be your refuge. Now see that I, even I, am he, and there is no God besides me. I kill and make alive. I wound and I heal. Nor is there any who can deliver from my hand. For I raise my hand to heaven and say, as I live forever, if I wet my glittering sword and my hand takes hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and repay those who hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword will devour flesh with the blood of the slain and the captives from the heads of the leaders of the enemies. Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and render vengeance to his adversaries. He will provide atonement for his land and for his people. In other words, he will fulfill. There's a time and place when he will provide atonement for the land of Israel and for his people, fulfilling the Feast of Atonement. Is everybody okay? Leviticus 16. Atonement power. There is power of atonement. Hallelujah. Leviticus 16. Is everybody there? Verse 1. Let's read it together. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of the young bull as a sin offering, and as of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with linen sash, with the linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. He shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering, and one ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. In other words, these sacrifices were going to be cleansing. Verse 7. He shall take two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the what? Scapegoat. Has anybody ever heard that saying scapegoat? And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and to let it go as a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. He shall take some of the blood of the bull, sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat, on the east side and before the mercy seat. He shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Now I want you to grab hold of something, because this is all prophetic. In other words, the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. So you're going to see that he's sprinkling the blood seven times. Jesus came and was shed blood in seven locations of his body. Two hands, two feet, his head, his back, and his side are all seven locations. So when they were sprinkling the blood seven times, meaning complete and perfect, they did it on the mercy seat, they did it on the altar. It was also a representation of the true covenant of God, the true sacrifice, the true scapegoat that would come, would be the true Lamb of God, blemish free, with no sin, manufacture his own blood and come to be sacrificed as an offering for all mankind. Amen? Let's go a little bit further. Verse 16. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their what? Transgressions, for all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting, which remains among them in the midst of where? And yes, for their uncleanliness. So again, the atonement is cleansing, isn't it? Let's go a little further. There shall be no man in the tabernacle meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. He shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all around. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times, cleanse it, consecrate it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Now I'll explain something. What they used to do is they would take a red ribbon and they would tie it on the tabernacle, on the entrance of the tabernacle. And the one bull they would offer up as a burnt offering, the other scapegoat, the priest would lay hands on the scapegoat and impart all the sins of Israel. And then they would let the scapegoat go out, and it would go out into the wilderness and die. And when it died, the red ribbon would turn white. So when they saw it turn white, they would know that God had cleansed them. Amen? Praise God. Let's go to Leviticus 23. So we know that fulfilling the Feast of Atonement, God is, Jesus will come and cleanse the land of Israel and his people. And Leviticus 23, in verse 26, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also, the 10th day of this 7th month, which is what? September. Amen. It's not according to our months. It's according to the Hebrew calendar. The 7th month of the Hebrew calendar is our 9th month. So it's actually September. That's why today is the Feast of Atonement. It starts from sunset to sunset. Also on the 10th day of this 7th month shall be the day of what? Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls. That means fast. And offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. I don't want to see any fires around. You know what I'm saying? Let's not get, you know, don't be taking your next door neighbor's dog and offering it up to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the day of atonement. And do not, I don't want you not showing up for work. You come to work tomorrow, okay? And make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. And any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the 9th day of the month at evening. From evening to evening, you shall celebrate the Sabbath. Does everybody understand that? So in other words, from sunset to sunset. So anyone that wants to participate, you can fast. Fast whatever you want. Just ask the Lord what he wants. Amen? It's called the what? The Feast of Atonement. Amen. Because it's a time. Listen, this is the most sacred feast to Israel. It is the most powerful feast to them. Because they know that their Messiah is going to come and cleanse. They know their Messiah is going to come and free them. And it is the most important day to them because it was always the most important day because it was the washing of their sins once a year. That the nation would be cleansed of their sins and the people would be cleansed of their sins. So to them is the most important feast. In Romans 6, again, it is the shadow of things to come where Jesus would be the one to fulfill. Because there's power in the atonement. Amen? Atonement power. Romans 6, verse 5. Would you read it with me, please? Thank God we have Jesus as our atonement. Amen? For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified. Your old man is called self. Itself is associated with also flesh. That the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has sinned has been freed from sin. I mean, he who has what? Died. That's why Jesus said what? Deny yourself. So if you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you accepted his death and resurrection. Amen? So you died with him. That's why when people get baptized, it is symbolic. But we actually get washed by the blood of the Christ every time we repent. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be what? Dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its what? Lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness as sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to what? Death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. Remember, sin is the presence of evil. Verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that from that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of what? Righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members of slaves of righteousness for what? For holiness. For the wages of sin is what? Death. In other words, without the covering of the blood, the penalty is death. So no one that is covered by the blood will die. It's separation from God. Only the blood of Christ cleanses, atones, removes. Only the blood. So there's not only atonement power, but there's power in the blood of Christ. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 2. You know, many people don't understand that. They don't understand that. That's, what does the word say? That they overcame by the what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they didn't love their lives to death. In verse 11, let's speak it, please. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Praise God. For he himself is our what? Peace, who has made both one and has broken down the wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Very powerful. So you and I were brought, God drew us, we were brought near to God through the blood of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrew. In verse 11, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11, let's speak it. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come. Of the what? Good things to come. With the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Now listen to this. That most holy place he's talking about is the tabernacle in heaven. When Jesus rose from the dead, he carried his own blood to the eternal tabernacle and came back. And he put his blood on the Ark of the Covenant and the holy eternal tabernacle that was laid, that God showed Moses that was in heaven. Verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifer sprinkled the unclean and sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now, this is powerful because in this, there's a new covenant. All right. Now, the new covenant is no longer the ministry of ordinances and sacrifices. It is the ministry of the Spirit. And the ministry of the Spirit means breath. It's the breath of God. The Holy Spirit, God's breath, now has been released to live in me and you. So that you and I get a new spirit, we get a new heart, we get the mind of Christ, we get the will of Christ, we get the character of Christ living in us as we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, again, the word Spirit also means breath. So now what you speak in the name of Jesus is activated. That's how you access the other realm. That's how you attack the powers of darkness. That's how you access everything, by speaking in the name of Jesus. That's why when you sow in the Spirit, you reap what? Life. That's why when you praise and worship the Lord, man, sing every word that's up there, man. What are you doing? You're sowing in the Spirit. And what you speak is what you eat. What you eat is what you become. So if I'm speaking light, I'm eating light, more darkness begins to leave. And I'm changing more and more and more. Amen? So because it is the new covenant of the ministry of the Spirit, we speak things to activate things in the name of Jesus. Go to Exodus 12. Now, at that time when in Egypt, Pharaoh was ruling the world, Egypt represents world under Satan's control. It's called the house of bondage. So the world is actually now the house of bondage because it's ruled by Satan's kingdom. And the only way out of the house of bondage is Christ Jesus. That's the only way. And nothing else allows you out of the house of bondage. So Satan promotes all kinds of religions. He appears to many people as an angel of light. And he creates another religion. Why? To keep people away from the true Christ Jesus and the true atonement of the blood of Jesus Christ. He knows if he can keep people away from the blood of Christ. In fact, demons hate the blood of Christ, but they like the blood of humans. In Exodus 12, verse 12. Now, in this, on their way out, Moses was sent to Pharaoh, and he was proclaiming all the plagues. And in one of the events, he was going to kill the firstborn of all the families. So he tells them, he says, at twilight, I want you, actually this is where the Feast of Passover comes from. He says, at twilight, I want you to kill a lamb. I want you to put the blood of the lamb on the lentils around the door. And the father is going to acknowledge that blood. Now, in verse 12, what does it say? He said, for I will pass through the land of Egypt. Now, remember, Egypt means the house of bondage. The world is known as the house of bondage now. So no matter where you are in the world, it's called Egypt. For I'll pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods, which are Nephilims, fallen angels. Does everybody get it? Now, I want to back up one thing. The only place is not the house of bondage is Israel. That's the only place in the world. It's not considered Egypt, everything else, Egypt or Babylon. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13. Now the blood shall be a what? Sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. This is known as the Feast of Passover. So again, in this, we see that blood protects. So if it's a new covenant, I can apply the blood of Jesus on anything. So everybody got it? I apply the blood of Jesus on my home, my car when I drive, people. Why? The Father acknowledges the blood. But you got to speak it, don't you? Amen. I got many testimonies of that. That's called power of the blood, isn't it? So not only is there the atoning blood that cleanses us, reconciles us back to God as children of the Most High. But there's the protection of the power of the blood also. Joel chapter 2. In verse 1. Is everybody there? It says what? Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let the inhabitants of the lands tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. The day of the Lord is associated with the Feast of Atonement. It will be a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be in such after them, even for many successive generations. A fire devour before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, like swift steeds. They run with a noise like chariots. Over the mountaintops they leap like the noise of flaming fire that devours the stubble, like a strong people set in battle array. Before them the people wrath and pain, all faces are drained of color. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation, and they do not break ranks. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down. They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. They climb into houses. They enter the widows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, and his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Again, the day of the Lord is associated with the Day of Atonement. Malachi 4. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Verse 1. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Now, it doesn't mean that things aren't going to be happening because the seals have been broke. And because the seals have been broke because it's the beginning of sorrows, it means it's the beginning of sorrows. You can't turn things back. And of course, not all the seals are broke yet. But I believe the first five are. Verse 1, for behold, the day is what? Coming, burning like an oven. And all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise. With healing in his wings, you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts, or the Lord of the army. Does everybody get it? So during trials and tribulations which are coming, you must stay under the blood. Has everybody got this? You stay under the blood. How do you stay under the blood? Lord, forgive me. Why, you repent to cleanse you with the blood, and you apply the blood of Jesus on you. In Revelation 16, that's what will separate you from the world. Revelation 16, in verse 12, let's read it together. It says, then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to a place called in Hebrew Armageddon. That will be the Day of Atonement. all of this is associated with the great day, the day of the Lord, fulfilling atonement. Does everybody understand that? The word tells us that the blood will rise up to the bridle of the horse. It'll be a great battle. And Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14. Starting at verse 1. Actually, let's go to Matthew 24, but hold your finger here. Matthew 24 and verse 3. Is everybody there? You got your finger at Zechariah 14? Okay. Matthew 24. Well, now we're going to go. No. We're going to let your fingers do the what? No. Hallelujah. Verse 3. Now he, Jesus, sat at the Mount of what? Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. Where was he? Where was Jesus? The Mount of Olives. Good. Go to Zechariah 14. So Jesus was telling them about what was getting ready to happen. He lets out everything. He talks about the beginning of sorrows, tribulation, great tribulation. All in Matthew 24, he explains everything to them. He talks about the generation. He talks about things that were going to come. All of it would be like the days of Noah. All of that is in Matthew 24, all from the Mount of Olives. He tells them, prepares them for what's going to happen at the end of the age, which will be the end of the age of grace. Now, chapter 14 in Zechariah in verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses ruffled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into the captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations. In other words, he's going to fight for Israel. At first, Israel is going to be attacked. He'll allow it. There'll be bloodshed. Then he's going to come and fight for them as he gathers somewhere, Armageddon. Because that's where the battle will be, coming against Israel. In verse 3, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. That's where he'll land. That's where he'll come, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it towards the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach Azel. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus, the Lord my God will come and all his saints with you. You and I will also come. That means that this is fulfilling the Feast of Atonement. That means that the Feast of Trumpets means that we have to go home. Amen? So if it ain't this past one, it's going to be one soon. Hallelujah. So when we go home for the Feast of Trumpets, we come back in 3.5 years later to fulfill the Feast of Atonement. But we're coming with glorified bodies. Yeah. You can eat all you want and not get fat, right? I can play tennis by myself on both sides. Praise God. Scuba dive with no gear. Snap. Is everybody all right? You getting this? 2 Peter 3. Atonement power. Yeah. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Let's speak it together. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they also do the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever and forever and forever. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Atonement power. Remember, the blood of Christ cleanses us when we repent and is put on us when we apply it. The Feast of Atonement is being celebrated today by all Israel according to their calendar, Hebrew calendar. So again, if you want to participate in any part of it, you can fast something from sunset to sunset. But when Jesus comes to fulfill the Feast of Atonement, we land on Mount Olives. From there, we go to Armageddon and kick butt. And then we go into the Feast of Tabernacle. Hallelujah. And we dwell, glorified bodies, everything becoming new, 1,000-year reign. The reason why you have a glorified body is because your home truly is not here. It's in the other realm called Jerusalem. It's a huge place where we will go back and forth. So we'll need a glorified body to go back and forth to, because no plane can get there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We thank you for preparing us. We thank you for cleansing us, keeping us spotless through the blood of Christ. Thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus. And thank you for the protection of the blood of Christ. Lord, we are honored and blessed. Prepare us, Lord, for your atoning power that will come to cleanse Israel, the land, and your people, and restore Israel back to your hand in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen?
Amen.
Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers. Every praise is to our God.